It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
All right, we are here on Insight, and we're with Father Ned Brown, and we're going to be talking in just a few minutes with Jesse Romero. Yeah, you can pull that toward you if you want, and that should work out pretty well. And so how are you tonight, Father Ned?
Well, we're doing pretty good.
All right. We're struggling a little bit with our phone thing. It won't accept call-ins, and we tried to call Mr. Romero, and his the number he was going to use doesn't accept phone calls from numbers without caller ID, and our Skype apparently doesn't use caller ID. So we're going to get it figured out, because we're going to run my phone through the soundboard, which will be pretty easy. But we're in the process of doing that now. But you might give us a real quick info on when Mr. Romero is coming, a general idea what he's going to do, and then we'll take a break and we'll get a hold of Mr. Romero.
Sure. So on September 19th, on Sunday, we have Jesse coming in to give us begin a series of talks for us, like a parish mission almost, to give us the talks on various subjects. Mm-hmm. He speaks regularly on Catholic evangelization, apologetics, marriage and family, especially in married and male spirituality, spiritual warfare, cultural wars, and teen chastity talks. He's a pretty, he's a full-time bilingual Catholic lay evangelist who nationally is acclaimed for his dynamic and upbeat Christ-centered preaching. He has his own, actually, radio station that, mm-hmm. that he runs out there in Arizona, where he's at, as well as he's been on Catholic radio for 15 years, hosting and teaching and speaking in English on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.org. And there he also does talks, goes around. Mm-hmm. We got wind of him when he was preaching and teaching out there in New Bremen. Last year, under Father Dorn. Father Dorn used to be the pastor here at Fort Recovery. And so he said he had a fantastic message to give. And so he's going to come out and give us a few talks. One of the things that I really wanted him here for is to talk to the men about spirituality and taking the reins of being the spiritual leaders of their families, mm-hmm. really, and trying to lead their families to God.
So this should be very good. We're going to get a chance to talk with him here on Fort Recovery Radio in just a couple of minutes here. We'll take a break here in a minute, and then it's going to be a really good thing with the five mm-hmm. talks that he's going to have in, I guess it's a week and a half or so. We'll be back with Jesse Romero. We're really, really sure we're going to be able to make this happen. Yeah. we have it figured out. We just ran about a minute short of getting it done. So we should be able to get it done here in this commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
I need a better job where the benefits are great, a family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The St. Joe Homecoming Festival is coming up September 10th, 11th, and 12th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, 1.5 miles east of Fort Recovery. The festivities kick off on that Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament. Sign in at 7:30. Saturday night begins with outdoor mass at 4:30, and stick around for world-famous chili, the amateur horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday's festivities kick off at 1 o'clock with NFL football on TV, a beanbag tournament, horseshoe tournament, and kitty tractor pool. Grab yourself some barbecue chicken dinners for supper, and stick around for entertainment by Kyle Kesters and the raffle drawing with a $1,000 top cash prize. We'll see you at the St. Joe Homecoming Festival, September 10th, 11th, and 12th.
We are back on Insight, and we do have Jesse Romero on the phone, and I'm going to let Father Ned kind of lead the questioning and kind of get the information out that between Father Ned and Mr. Romero, what we want people to know about what's coming up here in 10 days. Mm-hmm.
So we have, Jesse, we have you coming out on September 19th, which is a Sunday, all the way through the 22nd. And so on Sunday night, we have you coming in to give us a first talk on to the men only, actually. And then Monday and Tuesday, we have it more open. And then on Wednesday, we have you speaking to the youth group, like or in our high schoolers, basically, in the area. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. I guess I have your speaker's bio here, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about your bio and how you actually got into all this.
I'll make it simple, Father. I fell in love with Jesus Christ probably in my mid-20s. Sometimes that's called in Greek a metanoia, or in English a conversion. But what happened is I truly fell in love with the person of Jesus. How did that happen? I was a young street cop working with another, my partner, and he was a Bible-breathing Calvary Chapel fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. Well, when you work with 8 hours with a guy that just talks scripture, some of it starts becoming contagious. And so what I did, that prompted me to go home. And as a Catholic, it prompted me to start reading my Bible. And that was a good thing. That relationship that we had with my Protestant partner, it was a good relationship because he wasn't trying to get me to go to his denomination or leave the Catholic Church. All he wanted for me was to become biblically literate. And so I took the challenge. I began reading scripture every day when I got out of work for about an hour. And I asked my mom and dad. My mom and dad were involved in the Legion of Mary and the Charismatic Renewal. They said, you need to read the gospel, son. Read the gospel. You got to get to know Jesus. You got to get to know Jesus. I can still hear him today. Rest in peace, both of them. And so I remember, I said, well, this is kind of a thick book, Mom. Give me the Cliff Note version. My mom and dad said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the next year. Immerse yourself like in a swimming pool till your skin is wrinkled. And so I did. Yellow marker in my hand. Every night I'd come home from work and I'd spend about an hour plowing through the scriptures. I had about 3 or 4 Bibles. I'd read the footnotes. I had a Bible dictionary. And I'm telling you, all I can tell you is this. What happened to me is Jesus came out of the pages of scripture and I fell in love with him. I just turned 60 last week. Guess what? I'm more in love with Jesus right now than I've ever been. So I can tell you that. I lived 25 years of my life as a secular Catholic, as a lukewarm Catholic jumping over the trapdoor of hell. I've lived 35 years as a Catholic who's in love with Jesus Christ, And what a difference that made in my career as a policeman. What difference did that make in my career as a boxer? What difference did that make when I decided to retire early for the Sheriff's Department, Los Angeles, the largest Sheriff's Department in the world? And I said, I've got to preach the gospel. I mean, Paul told Timothy, he says, you know, be sober in all things, you know, suffer hardship and do the work of an evangelist. I said, I, as a Catholic, the catechism says I'm an evangelist with a small e and a priest, prophet, and a king. And so, you know, working East Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles, Central Los Angeles, I was sick and tired of taking Catholics to jail. I was. And so I said, I'm going to spend the next half of my life trying to break Catholics out of the spiritual prison, which is called living a life in mortal sin, living a life away from Christ. And so I took an early retirement and I began preaching the gospel. My wife believed in me. My parents believed in me. And by the grace of God, I've been doing this. I don't know if effectively or not, but I keep getting invited to speak in different locations and to return. So I guess I must be bearing some fruit somewhere. I've been preaching the Catholic gospel for the last 20 years and I haven't looked back.
Well, that's great, Jesse. One of the things I was calling you in for from good recommendation of Father Dorn. He used to be the pastor actually here at Mary Helper Christians, and then he went to New Bremen, Ohio, and last year you spoke at his parish and you kind of lit the place on fire, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit, you know. So you came highly recommended, and one of the things that bothers me a lot, or just is one of my great worries, is the role that men play in the church. You know, the Christian church, the Catholic church, and how I think we need to challenge these men, and we need to get them to understand the importance of them being the leaders of their families. As you know, I think you probably know more off the top of your head than myself, but they did a survey. I think it was one of these places, maybe in the Pew Research, it might have been, but the idea was the fact that there's in some sectors of our society, there's up to 85% of children without any fathers in the home. And the average is 40% where there's not a father in the home. Now, thanks be to God, we live in a beautiful community here where those numbers aren't that radical, but nevertheless, I never even wanted them to get that close. I never would want them to ever or never think that they can ever walk away from their families or if they have that they go back. And what can you tell us about your experiences of getting dads to really take up that call to be their spiritual leaders of their family, and how can they do that?
Okay, well, I can just tell you, this is from the field experience as a former cop. You'll find that neighborhoods that have a high divorce rate or a high matriarchal society, where most of the women just have had children out of wedlock, live off of welfare, you'll find those neighborhoods have the highest crime rate. When there's no father in the home, especially amongst Hispanics and Blacks, I can tell you this. The young men are going to hit the streets, and they're going to try to find a neighborhood tough guy that just got out of prison with tattoos to kind of mentor them. And they will. These gang members will mentor these young guys. And I can tell you this. Our criminal justice system is fed and fueled because of the lack of fathers at home. In fact, the study that I did years ago, I demonstrated that 80 to 85% of people that are locked up in prison behind bars right now are there. They come from broken homes, single parent homes, no father. And so there's a direct connection between the criminal justice system, gang membership, and the lack of fathers. And in fact, there's a study, I'm trying to pull it up right now in a book that I wrote. There's a study, I think it was done in Switzerland. Ah, I found it. Yeah, here it is. The study was done from a medical journal article. It says, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, only one child in 50, that's 2% of the children, will become regular churchgoers. If the father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 66 to 75% of the children will become regular church goers. The fact is, why is that the situation? I'll tell you why. Because God has established authority and protection through spiritual and natural patriarchy. This is what the Old and New Testament teach. And this is one thing that we've forgotten as Americans who have bought more into secular humanism and Marxism.
Right.
And the whole propaganda from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, effectively pushing this restructuring of the patriarchal family. No, this is exactly what America needs more than ever. I think what we're suffering from right now in America is called patricide, the killing of the father. And so as Catholics, we've understood this from the very beginning. In fact, in Catholicism, the primordial figure is God the Father, the first person of the Blessed Trinity, and all patriarchal authority and protection flows from God the Father. And so as Catholic men, there's even another study that I read that says fathers that go to church spend more time with their children. Fathers that go to church have a lower divorce rate. It's a win-win situation being a father of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we need it so much nowadays, just as you can see. I mean, you've been in those. I read your bio, and I noticed that, you know, you worked in those prisons, and that's exactly what you saw. You saw that, and many of them that are there, you know, they themselves had children, you know, all over the place, and it's sad that you know they need to we need to get these men to understand the role of faith in their lives and how they can actually link that into them. A lot of them, you know, sometimes they say, well, that's my wife's deal, and they kind of abrogate the responsibility and the danger of that, as you've just pointed out, of doing that has its consequences. And you know, there are no discrimination in that, you know.
No, Father, what we're suffering from since the 60s is called patricide, the killing of the father. That's what we've been trying to do, and it's exacerbated with, again, this influence of Marxism into our country.
Mm-hmm.
But God has established three institutions in the Bible. The Holy Bible, it gives us the order, it gives us the blueprint for a social order. And the three institutions that God has established are, number one, the human society, number two, the family, number three, the state, okay? And each of these institutions has a patriarchal authority structure. For example, a father's authority is limited to his own family. This is what we call patriarchal authority, or the Catechism calls the domestic church. A father's prayers and his blessings over his family, those under him and his household, have a very powerful effect based on scripture. Then God has established another patriarchal office called church leaders. This is delegated to them by Christ. And the church leaders, they're the spiritual patriarchy, which, by the way, it's a supernatural organism, which is called to purify and be the moral conscience for the natural, the government. Government has also been established by God. It doesn't mean that every person in government is called by God. No, we elect some of these knuckleheads. But government is established by God. And specifically, there are some patriarchal aspects of government given to us by God, which is law enforcement and the military. This is called civil patriarchy. This comes right from the hand of God. And once again, all fatherly patriarchy, priestly patriarchy, and governmental patriarchy, all institutions given to us by God that are being attacked right now since the 60s by the modernist Marxists and Masons, these patriarchal institutions are meant to bring a moral and social order to society.
That's very well said. We're going to have to take a break, I think, right now.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and get more with Mr. Romero, and we'll find out a whole lot more. This is extremely interesting, and so stay tuned. And if you've missed part of it, just remember we always put everything in our archives. It'll be somewhere around 10 o'clock tonight before we get the show and our sports talk show in the archives tonight. But it will be in the archives tonight. So we'll be back in just a minute with more from Mr. Romero.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Miracle Lanes is now back open after their summer break. Stop in and see Corey and Jared. Bowl a game or two, visit with friends, grab something to eat, and if you're looking to feed the family, what's better than Miracle Lanes pizza? Also, try one of their subs or other sandwiches, and don't forget about their famous wings. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And if you're planning a birthday party or other get-together, call to reserve your day and time. And be sure to get there for their great pizza and wing buffet on Fridays at lunch. Through the month of July, Miracle Lanes will be open on Thursday at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11. Call them at 375-4274 to order ahead.
The Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster will be hosting national speaker Jesse Romero Sunday, September 19th through Wednesday, September 22nd. Mr. Romero is a radio host, author, and evangelist, and will speak on how spiritual warfare is being waged against us and how we can protect and defend ourselves. His five presentations are open to adults and students, ninth grade and up, regardless of religious affiliation, and there will be refreshments after each of the talks. On Sunday evening, September 19th at 5:30, his presentation will be Know Your Enemy, followed at 7:15 by Man to Man. This last presentation is for men only. Monday's presentation, The Power of Prayer, will be held at 7:15 p.m., and Tuesday's presentation will be at 7:45 p.m. and will be How to Get to Heaven, Living in a State of Grace. On Wednesday, it will be Teen Night starting at 7:30 for teens 9th grade and up. Put these dates on your calendar and see Jesse Romero Sunday through Wednesday, September 19th through 22nd at Mary Help of Christians Church, and hear his stories of working in the largest prison system in the world, dealing with Satanism and the occult, and so much more. These talks are open to the public regardless of religious affiliation, and you want to get there early because of the anticipated large attendance for these presentations.
And we're back on Insight with Father Ned and our speaker that's going to be here in about 10 days, Jesse Romero. So, Father Ned, you were you had a line, some things you were going to think about here, and,
sure.
And I'll let you get Mr. Romero's insight on those.
So here we are with Jesse. He's that just to let you know a little bit more about him. He alluded to some of these things, but I'll just go through his quick bio of him. Jesse's a 3-time World Police Olympics boxing champion and a former USA middleweight kickboxing champion, as well as the member of the Sports and Faith International Hall of Fame. Recipient of the Archbishop Fulton Sheen Award, the Fullness of Truth Defender of Faith Award, and he has an MA in Catholic Theology from Franciscan University in Steubenville. And he's also an author of several books, and maybe Jesse can tell us a little bit about those, that he's going to actually be bringing, a cachet of these books along with him. But maybe, Jesse, when did you start writing some of these books
I've been writing on my computer for years. And then my wife started saying, well, why do you have all that stuff in your computer? Why don't you just start putting that into a book? Look at that one. That's a book. Look at that. That's a book. And so probably about 6 years ago, I said, yeah, you're right. Why am I writing all this stuff here? I'm going to drop dead one day. Is it all going to save my computer for my kids to read? So I just started putting all these things, giving them table of contents and putting them into books. But the ones I'm really proud of are probably two that really stand out. One is called Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. That book is a man's prayer book. But I'll tell you, it's more than a prayer book because it also gives a lot of the theology of prayer that guys have never heard. And so in that book, I not only teach guys to pray, give them a ritual of prayer, give them this routine. And I give them, you know, catechism and scripture. But more than that, I share a lot of science in that book to show that there's a scientific basis to prayer. When guys hear that, guys say, whoa, you're the first Catholic that's ever put some scientific data and justified, showed us the power of prayer. And this is moving, because a lot of guys have that rational, they go, oh, you got to convince me and stuff, because I think only women do this. And so I also have a section in that book where I talk a lot about spiritual warfare and the theology of Catholic men actually starting to pray spiritual warfare prayers, such as the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, for example, and why it's important for the patriarch of the family to start praying spiritual warfare prayers. And the reason is because, again, we've entered into a time where there's more diabolical activity than there's ever been in my lifetime. In fact, I wrote a book about that. One of the last books I wrote, it was called The Devil in the City of Angels. What I did there is I wrote a book basically talking about a lot of my experiences of myself as a young cop, as a cop in the force for over 20 years, and actually dealing with people, witches, wizards, Satanists, mass murderers that said that they were Satanists. And I wrote a bunch of stories that are very short, pithy stories, sharing with people the way I, as a young Catholic in uniform, saw people that were totally given over to the devil. I had long conversations with several of the famous serial killers here in Southern California back in the 80s and 90s. I talked to high-level Satanists. I mean, this is just on the streets in patrol where I would encounter them. And so I ended up writing this book, sharing with people, guess what? What the church has taught us, you know, we say in the Creed every Sunday at Mass that God has created everything visible and invisible. Yes, God created angels, and there's a third of those angels called fallen angels that rebelled against God, and now we call them demons. And guess what? They're here in the world. They prowl around seeking to destroy us. And their main function is to project into our minds ordinary temptation so that we can embrace a life of sin, mortal sin specifically, die unrepentant, and go to hell. So I have a large section of anecdotal stories. People love it. And in fact, now, truth be told, I've actually had a few phone calls from Hollywood producers that have read my book, and they said, this book is phenomenal. And so right now I'm actually in conversations with this one screenwriter and producer about turning the book into a full feature film.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, when I was in I used to live in Rome in my studies. And on the weekends, I'd go down to Naples, Florida, or Naples, not Florida, Naples, Italy. And one day we were trying to get the youth group off the ground, and we stopped at this one church down there in Naples, and it so happened to be there was the exorcist that was the pastor of the church. And so we were there, and while we were waiting for him, I was in his office waiting in his sacristy, and he had a big table there with all these books, and you know how holy priests are, they're just messy people. And so on the table was Padre Pio's glove. And I looked at it and I said, I bet you that looks like Padre Pio's glove. What he, you know.
So wow.
Padre Pio is this great saint, you know, obviously. So some people might know this, what I'm talking. But he's a great saint. It was way back during the times of the war, and in the World War II. And so he had the stigmata. And so the stigmata was the wounds of Christ. And he put these gloves over his bandages. And so I'm looking at this, and he walked in, and I dropped the glove, and I said, "What?" And he caught me. He goes, "No, no, no, no." He goes, "Go ahead, look at it." And I said, "Well, what is it? Is that really Padre Pio's glove?" And he says, "Of course it is. Yeah, look at it." So I looked at it, and then he goes, "When I give my exorcisms, the devil really hates that glove."
Mm. Wow. Yeah, makes sense.
And then he had his exorcism book, and he handed it to me. He says, hey, look at this. So he had his books of exorcisms, his prayers for exorcisms, and he flipped it. And I looked at it, and I says, and I opened it up, and there's this burnt paw mark on it. And I said, and he goes, no, spin through it. So I, you know, opened it up, and I spun through the pages, and the burn mark was all the way through the book. And he said,
wow,
the devil knocked it out of my hands during the exorcism and left that mark.
Wow.
Wow.
So, the devil's real, people, and if you don't think he is, well, then he's got you really fooled. And so,
yeah, and I'll tell you what's important is St. John Paul II, he actually said in a homily, he said, if you don't believe in the devil, then why did Jesus Christ die for our sins on the cross? Absolutely. So St. John Paul II would also always in his homilies juxtapose telling people the reason he went to the cross is because to undo the works of the devil. Exactly. There's a fallen angel called the devil that wants to tempt us, get us all to live an unrepentant mortal sin and go to hell. And that's why Christ came into the world. St. John Paul, and I'll tell you, even Pope Francis, I'll be honest with you, Pope Francis has probably talked more about the devil than any other pope in my lifetime. That's, you know, surprisingly enough, but that's a breath of fresh air because, you know, some people say, well, you know, he's more kind of a social justice pope. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He talks a lot about spiritual warfare more than any other pope in my lifetime. And again, I think that's a breath of fresh air in the church.
Right. And we see also in scripture how Jesus always, I mean, he did a lot of healing, and a part of it, and exorcisms, they fall under the healing ministry of Jesus. And so he goes and he casts out demons all over the place in the scriptures. It's just that the modernists like to say that, oh, that was just a psychological thing, you know, and just reduce the psychology. And it's just, you know, unfortunately, the real life facts, like you said, you got a book full of anecdotes, real life anecdotes of these things that happen. You know, so.
And Father, I would argue that every single Catholic has had an encounter with a preternatural demon. Every single one. At the very least, a horrendous nightmare where you feel a presence over your bed pinning you down like a 200-pound weight, maybe even something breathing on your face that's on top of you. Every single Catholic, they may live in denial, but everybody's had an encounter with a preternatural being called a demon.
Right. And we also know he works in the D's, you know. He works in the discouragement. He works in deception, obviously. And the greatest deception is to make him think that he doesn't exist. One of his greatest deceptions. He deceives us about the faith, or whether our faith is important, or, you know, that it's easy to get to heaven, that a relationship with Christ is easy or something. So he works in the, you know, discouragement. The despair is where he wants to lead us, because really, in the end, if we despair that Christ can't save us, then, you know, he's won his battle. And this is where we have to really fight that spiritual warfare a lot of times. Yep. In our own mind. Like you said, this is where he attacks us, in our own minds, in our own hearts. And then he tries to get us to throw away the greatest treasure of all, which is Christ himself, you know.
Yeah, Father, this is important. You know, the spiritual warfare that most men have to win before they can become even effective as fathers and husbands, they got to win the spiritual warfare within their interior life.
Yep.
In other words, they've got to tame the beast of concupiscence. Yep. They have to have a relationship with Christ so that they're able to temper their disordered passions, their disordered emotions, their disordered appetites. You can only temper that and master that, what's called self-mastery, through a life of faith, through a life of pursuing virtue. And what is virtue? It's nothing other than holy habits.
Yep. And so it's allowing Christ to win that victory through you. You know,
yeah,
and so we're going to have to take a break. It looks like right now, yep. And then we'll go right back and come right back. I'm sure to talk some more.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Always find great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, and here are some of the examples of their great deals this week. Hamburger Helper is $1.49 a box. Virginia brand ham or Cooper Farms honey roasted or smoked turkey are $5.99 a pound, sliced to order in their deli, and 8-ounce packages of Best Choice shredded cheese is just $2.89. And if you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, stop by their deli, where they always have good hot meals ready to go every day, like meatloaf Monday, tenderloin Tuesday, they have ribs on Thursday, and burgers and brats on Fridays. And make them your first stop every morning with one of their many varieties of coffee and one of their fresh pastries. Good food ready to go every day. Just stop in to Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Assure, the local area suicide awareness group, will be having their annual suicide awareness community walk at the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday, September 11th from 8 to noon. If you'd like to be part of this great cause, all you need to do is stop by the fairgrounds that day and register. Get your pledges lined up ahead of time and walk as far and as long as you want, and you can start any time from 9 to noon. Find details at assuremc.org. All proceeds from the walk will benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and local suicide support and services. So if you want to help out a great cause and get a little exercise in the process, head out to the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 11th from 8 to noon, and join the Suicide Awareness Community Walk presented by Assure, the area suicide support resources. The Fort Recovery Music Boosters will be hosting their annual all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday, September 26th at the Legion from 8:30 to noon. Tickets are available from any band or choir member, or you can get them at the door. Tickets are only $6 each, and kids under 5 are free, and carryouts will be available. So stop out for breakfast on Sunday morning, September 26th, for the Music Boosters All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast from 8:30 to noon at the Legion. And we're back here on Insight. We're with Jesse Romero, and Father Ned is here with us, and we've heard a lot of things about what's going on, and we're going to catch a little bit more. Again, we want to remind everybody that September 19th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there'll be 5 presentations over those 4 days, and it's at Mary Help of Christians, and it is open to people of any faith. It's non-denominational. It is important that people know a lot of this information that you're giving out. So, Father Ned, I'll let you go ahead with your next train of thought.
Yes. Yeah, we were talking about Jesse's some of his books that he's been writing. One is a great book on to help men, especially the Lord Prepare My Hands for Battle. Basically, it's a prayer book for men, kind of tying into one of the talks that he's going to give to the men. We have 2 talks on Sunday night on September 19th. The first is introductory talk by Jesse, and then we have a second talk at 7:15 that's going to be for men only. So we're just kind of teasing that. All you wives out there, all you mothers out there and wives, please try to do your best to get to free up your evening, because I think you'll see Jesse can hopefully, by the grace of God, give your husbands and sons a new perspective on taking the responsibility of leading a life of holiness and prayer.
Father, go ahead. I'll tell you one of the reasons why I do connect with men well is because I'm just like a blue collar guy. And I mean, I grew up in the barrios of Los Angeles. You know, I've been involved in boxing and martial arts. I'm accomplished in those areas. I've been a cop and a street cop. I've been shot at. I've had to shoot somebody. I'm like a blue collar down to earth guy. And so when I start talking about Jesus and my love for our Lord and the Catholic faith, because of a lot of the things that I've experienced, all of a sudden I can tell you, I have everybody's attention immediately. I'll go to a high school and kids will say, well, who's this guy, you know, going to talk to us about God and stuff? I'll say, get on your phones right now and type in Jesse Romero's fight montage, and you can see my highlight championship fights when I was a middleweight kickboxing champion in the U.S. The kids will jump on their phone. Within about 1 minute, all their eyes are on me. They're saying, dang, this guy was a champion fighter in the ring. All of a sudden, they're eating out of my hands for 90 minutes. I'm a real guy. I've done a lot of things that begets the respect of a lot of men. And I'll be honest with you, I'm no fool. I use this to my advantage to evangelize men effectively and bring him to a knowledge of Christ. And I think what I do is I give men permission to say, guys, real men love Jesus. Guys, real men pray. Because let's just be honest, oftentimes what a lot of Catholic men have seen, and unfortunately as we've seen as a, you know, as a summer of shame in 2002, they've seen a lot of effeminacy in the Catholic Church, the betrayal of manhood. And so I think one of the things that I'm able to provide the church as a lay Catholic man is, I'm a sinner like everybody else, but I just tell them, look, guys, you can be a well-adjusted, emotionally well-ordered Catholic man. Love God, love your wife, and you know, be involved in contact sports and all the cool things of life. But Jesus can still be the most important thing for every single one of us and our Catholic faith. And I think I give men permission to get out of their comfort zone and say, wow, I thought my wife was supposed to be, you know, women are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the household. I give men permission to act like men and to be the St. Josephs of their house.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember when I was growing up, I mean, I wasn't too much interested in my faith. It was about, I think it was a freshman in high school, I remember. But I was sent to a retreat, and this retreat master, Father Ben, said the hook that got me was, he goes, I know some of you men here, some of you boys here think that Jesus is some type of sissy. And he held up a crucifix, a big giant crucifix in his hand, and he says, does that look like a sissy to you? Mm. And that's a change, that's what began to change my whole perspective. You know, and you have to ask yourself, why is he on that cross? And there's a lot of manly virtues in Christ. You know, obviously those virtues of a man are in him, because he had both a divine nature but a human nature, and he also, you know, obviously made the ultimate sacrifice. And that person that sacrificed himself wasn't just any old man; it was the second person of the divine Trinity.
Yeah,
and you know, it's hard.
Father, I'll tell you what helps a lot of men, helped me especially. Back in 2004, when Jim Caviezel came out with the movie The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, anytime you got a chance to listen to Jim Caviezel, you take a man.
Yeah, there you see a man's man, Jesus Christ, the perfectly well-adjusted man who has complete control, does not suffer from concupiscence, has mastered all his passions and emotions, are subject to his intellect, and yet having the power to be able to call thousands and thousands of angels, called legions, 6,000 angels, and to destroy the Roman Empire 20 times over, he stood there and surrendered his life as the Lamb of God for us. when I saw the Passion of the Christ, I'm saying, that is power like I've never seen in my life. That type of humility and meekness, power under control, that's manly. That's virtue right there. And I think no man can watch the movie The Passion of the Christ without being impacted to the very core of their being and saying, you know what? I think Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I think he's worth following.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you look at that, and you look at the sacrifice that he made, you don't have to look to anyone else. You just have to look to yourself and say, he did that for me. He did that for me. And you have to allow that to change your heart. I mean, because the world is trying to change your heart. The world's trying to change all of our hearts. They're trying to make us bitter and trying to divide us. If you look at this, look at the culture which we live in now. We're all, you know, about ready to tear each other apart. And we have to look to Christ. If we don't start to look to Christ for our answers right now, even though there's many that don't, it doesn't matter. I just have to make sure that I'm looking at his eyes. That's the only eyes I need to look at.
Yeah, you know, if Father, I tell men, a lot of men seem to be, you know, right now they're very depressed. There's a lot of despondency, depression. I mean, there's even a lot of suicide right now. And a lot of people that are just basically in despair. I tell people, there's three things that help me get through my day every single day. Number one, I, Jesse Romero, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds or next week or next month. I don't know what's going to happen in an hour from now. Number two, I do know who knows the future. His name's Jesus Christ. He knows what's going to happen in a minute from now, an hour from now, 24 hours, next week, next month, next year. And so the third point, I say, I can trust him. All you got to do is trust him. And that's why the prayer of St. Faustina is so important for us right now. Jesus, I trust in you. He's got this. Our life is in the palm of his hands. Whatever happens, it happens by his divine permission. What's more important for us is to make sure that we're in a right relationship as men with God and make sure our prayer life is strong. Because a converted husband and a father, his prayers are much more powerful as they flow down through the wife into the kids. As James 5:16 tells us, the prayers of a righteous man have much power. So as a Catholic man, forget about all the degrees you have after your last name, BA, BS, MA, MS, PhD. Forget about all the... We Catholic men have to work for that degree before our name, which is ST. I want to be St. Jesse one day. Who cares about everything after Romero? That doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have something I wanted to... That I've had several people tell me, and it's sort of on the subject, but maybe slightly off. But I've had several people say, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I believe in God. You don't need to convince me. What is the reason that men, especially, because that's kind of what we're aiming at, but people in general should go to church, whether it's the Catholic Church or whatever it may be, to be with other people. What is the main reason that men, especially, should be going to church and not leaving it to the spouse to take care of the that type of.
I'll give you scripture, and then I'll give you practical on-the-field experience. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. That's your judgment day, or the general judgment of the world. The Bible's very clear. Do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. I'll tell you why this is important. Because there's power when men gather together. Proverbs 27:11. Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Bad men get this. Gang members get this. Mafiosos get this. Terrorists get this. Cartels get this. Football teams get this. Wrestling teams get this. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, they get this. Police departments get this. Fire departments get this. There is symbiotic and synergistic power when men gather together. It's like putting one log in a fire pit. Okay, one log is going to burn for a little while, but if you throw 20 logs, they're going to burn longer and more brightly. This is why God sent the apostles out two by two. What men need, what Catholic men need are three things. They need fraternity, they need a life of ritual, and they need constancy. What do I mean by that? Fraternity, find brothers in Christ to be accountable to. Join a Catholic men's group. There's a lot of good Catholic men's groups out there. Join one. Number two, men need ritual. Men need the ritual life of the sacraments, the ritual life of going to Mass, the ritual life of practicing virtue every single day. And third, men need constancy. Constancy, what does that mean? That comes from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. The prophet Daniel says that he prayed three times a day on his knees facing east. Catholic men need that type of constancy. Morning, midday, and evening, they need to stop and talk to God. And just to show you, I mean, there's a religion out there not started by Jesus Christ, and they get this constancy. It's called Islam, where you'll find Islamic men that practice their faith. They'll stop five times a day, get on their knees, and pray wherever. Well, as Catholics, Daniel 6:10 tells us three times a day, but Catholic men need to do this. You think God needs our prayer? No. Why do we pray? Because we need God. We need his grace. We need it for him to enlighten our mind. We need it for him to strengthen our will. We get all the benefits out of praying. God doesn't need our prayer. God, the Trinity, is sufficient in himself. But he loves us so much that he wanted to share himself with us, that he created us. Prayer is conversation with God. St. Clement of Alexandria says that. St. Teresa of the Little Flower says, all prayer to be effective, it must come from your heart.
Yeah, and I would also say that the question that he asked too is there's a fundamental flaw in it, in the sense that I'm good with God and that's it. And it just fundamentally shows a tremendous amount of ignorance to the fact that everybody has an enemy, and that enemy is not you or me or someone else, any human being. It's principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's the devil and all his minions. Yep. And they're coming at your soul, and you can't do that without help. You can't do that without getting together. You can't. We are a social being. We're in this, you know, together. It isn't just like, you know, I'm gonna make it myself, you know, one-on-one, you know, the old John Wayne way, and that's it. But our Lord has called us to be a part of this, and
yes,
and to really work. But and also, you know, for the Catholic especially, we're going to church because Christ is there. Because
that's
Christ,
right,
Physically, body, blood, soul, yeah, divinity,
John
is doing
6,
something
53.
For us. Right.
John, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Guess what? You can't get that at Target, Walmart, Costco, Walgreens, or anywhere else. The only place you can get that is not in the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness Hall or Protestant denomination. The only place to get that is the Catholic Church, the Church of the Sacrament, the Church of the Eucharist. This is Christ here on earth in his Eucharistic reign. This is why it's most important to go to Mass.
Sure.
Because without sanctifying grace, nobody will get to heaven. And the sacrament of all sacraments is the Holy Eucharist.
Right, it's Christ himself. And it's not just my words. It's not your words, Jesse. It's not the words of some great theologian. It's the word of Jesus himself.
Yes.
Just like you said, yep. Read John chapter 6, and it's basically written all there, especially if you start to dig deep into it. And it's Christ. He defended it to his death. He even said, you know, do you want to go away also? And he allows them to walk away, and because it's a proposition. He's not going to force you to love him, but but you cannot tell him that he's not going to love us in this way.
That's right. Father, by the way, I just want to mention that You mentioned John Wayne. He had a deathbed conversion to the Catholic faith. So John Wayne is now a Catholic on the other side.
Well, that's great. So I was wondering if you could share with us a few of your stories from prison, when your prison ministry.
I'll share the one that really flipped me. Okay, I'll share. So I'm a young rookie cop. It's 1982, 1983. My first assignment right out of the academy, working the Los Angeles County Jail. It's the largest jail in the free world. They had me work for the first 6 months as I was in the jail. There was a section called the Mentally Ill Offenders Unit. So when I get there day one, right out of the academy, the lieutenant tells me, okay, you got 200 men in one-man cells. They're all in solitary confinement. He goes, these guys are the worst prisoners in the Southwest. Some of them are convicted. Some of them are going to death row, or they've got life in prison. Some of them are still fighting their case. So I asked the lieutenant, I said, so what am I supposed to do? He goes, you're a high paid babysitter. Here's what you're supposed to do on the hour, every hour. This is how you feed them. And so he said, by the way, all of these people here are psychopaths, serial killers, mass murderers, and sociopaths. I said, wow. And he goes, if you want to read their police reports, psych evals, and probation reports, it's in my office. It's alphabetized by cell number. And so, you know, I don't think you'll want to do that, but if you ever want to, it's all in there. Well, I worked there for 6 months, and again, being a high-paid babysitter, you only have to, every 20 minutes, you got to do a suicide watch and give them a magazine and stuff. Take them out one at a time to go to the yard to get some exercise, feed them three times a day. But you do this with several other officers, and they're all behind their cell. Behind these, you know, these are very, very
dangerous.
These are the most high security cells that you have in California. And so I remember I went into the office in my downtime in between doing my cell checks, and I read about every police report of all the 200 prisoners that were there. And I read all their psyche evals and their probation reports. Now, I took out a little paper and a pencil, and I started making hash marks. Every single person that was there, prisoner, that had killed for Satan, I put a little stick on a paper. Well, when I was, and after 3 weeks after I read the 200 reports, I ended up seeing that 110 of these 200 prisoners had claimed that they had killed people, or many people, for Satan, or in obedience to Satan, or because they were part of a satanic cult. So I showed this to my sergeant and lieutenant. I said, sir, I said, do you realize that a lot of the people that we have here have killed for Satan? They're looking at me. I'm 3 weeks out of the academy. They're like saying, what? Where do you get this information? I said, I read every police report, probation report, and psych eval. They said, you read everything in that? I said, I read the whole thing, everything, on all these guys. And so I remember the lieutenant told me, we got to call homicide. I never realized that a lot of these people have just killed, they're satanic killers. I said, yeah, I'm 21 years old and stuff. I'm not real deep in my faith, but I just did this kind of like, I knew there's something about these guys. I'm just going to, and so this one serial killer, very famous, called Richard Ramirez, a Night Stalker. I spend hours talking to him. He was like in cell number 3. And I remember I would just ask him very cavalierly. I would say, once he got convicted, he talked freely about his case. I said, so why did you kill these 30 women? I said, how did it feel? I mean, what impelled you? He told me. We had a conversation for hours. He said, Officer Romero, I killed these women because I do it out of obedience for Satan. Satan loves blood. These are blood sacrifices to Satan. He loves them. He's my father. Now, I'll tell you what those conversations did for me. I'm 21 years old. I'm a lukewarm Catholic. Yeah, I'm going to Sunday Mass every Sunday, but I'm not paying attention. I'm just going out of obligation, not out of love. As I would drive home at night, I would ask myself, how is it that this guy, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, the serial killer, can love Satan more than I love my God, the one true God? That convicted me, Father, and that started an earthquake in my soul where I started saying, I'm so ashamed of myself as a Catholic. These 200 men, at least 110 of them, seem to be more committed to Satan as their father than I am to God as my father. So it was working in that section of the jail for 6 months which started the catalyst for my conversion, realizing that I was nowhere where I needed to be as a Catholic man.
Well, that's a fantastic story.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and I think you can do a little summary of what you're going to talk about, but one of the things you probably should do, I'm thinking, is give everybody that's listening a reason why they should attend one or all of these meetings in 10 days, ending up in 2 weeks from now. So we'll take a break, and you just give us a really good reason why everybody should get...
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Need a better job where the benefits are great? A family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
This is Chad Guggenbeller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Has your business experience changed within your operation? Or maybe the place you've banked with has seen the cultural change or the loss of a long-trusted officer or advisor? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action in how to navigate this new season of business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbeller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
The St. Joe Homecoming Festival is coming up September 10th, 11th, and 12th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, 1.5 miles east of Fort Recovery. The festivities kick off on that Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament. Sign in at 7:30. Saturday night begins with outdoor mass at 4:30, and stick around for world-famous chili, the amateur horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday's festivities kick off at 1 o'clock with NFL football on TV, a beanbag tournament, horseshoe tournament, and kitty tractor pool. Grab yourself some barbecue chicken dinners for supper, and stick around for entertainment by Kyle Kesters and the raffle drawing with a $1,000 top cash prize. We'll see you at the St. Joe Homecoming Festival, September 10th, 11th, and 12th.
We are back on Insight, and we have Father Ned here with us, and Jesse Romero, the nationally known speaker that's going to be coming here in 10 days for five sessions. And Father Ned, do you have anything you want to throw at him before he throws at us what are our reasons for going to get to all these meetings?
Well, just to let everybody know that he will be here in town on Sunday, September 19th, beginning in the afternoon, late afternoon, for a session, and as well as a 7:15 session for the men. Then he'll be also back on Monday evening, as well as Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening. So Tuesday and Wednesday it's open, or Monday and Tuesday it's open to the public, as well as Sundays as well. It's just that there's one session Sunday night for men only. Okay, so we're really trying to get the fathers and dads out there, as well as sons, you know, even if they're not married and stuff like this, or about to get married, these men. Because he has a special message to give to these men, as well the talks on that he's going to give on these other nights are open for all the family. All of you will find him very... very informative and very inspirational, I think.
And if you've been listening tonight, kind of compelling.
Sure, compelling, yes. So, but Jesse's going to give us one good reason why everyone should come out.
Or even 10.
Ten, yeah.
So go ahead.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. When you invite me to your parish to give some conferences, you're not going to get balloons, banners, and butterflies. Trust me. what you're going to get, and I'll tell you, I worked in a black and white for many years. I see life black and white. It's pretty simple. I mean, in the final analysis in eternity, there's going to be winners and losers, heaven or hell. And we choose our own destinies by how we choose to live our lives right now. And we have to remember that when it's all said and done, we take nothing with us. Think about this. Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? The presentations that I give, I come at it very old school. What I mean by that, I try to remind people of the four last things and everything I say. There's a day of death. It's all coming. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The Christian life is pretty simple. You got to do your duty of the state in life until the Lord calls you to his judgment seat. And really, our whole life as Catholics, it's a preparation for eternity. That's what life is. And what we do in this life will echo in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And God's interested. What God is interested, he's interested in building our character and making you holy. God's more interested in making you and me holy than he is interested in me making other people holy. And so, as Catholic men, I think one of the things that I bring into these conferences is I try to give people the idea that we have to live our life with eternity in mind. I mean, I'm reminded of Blessed Jacinta, the 9-year-old visionary in Fatima, who said, quote, "If only men could know what eternity is, they would change their lives in a heartbeat. Souls are falling into hell like snowflakes fall to the ground." Think about this. If you look at the newspaper today in the death column, somebody your age died today, somebody younger than you died today, and somebody your age and younger than you'll die tomorrow. Every day of the week, somebody your age dies. And no matter how young you are, none of them knew it would be the day that they died. Archbishop Fulton Sheen says this: when we all die, every single one of us is going to see one of two faces. You're going to see instantly either the glorious face of God, or you're going to see the hideous face of the devil. And Fulton Sheen says, and whichever face we see the moment we die, they will say to us, "Mine for all eternity." And so all my talks, you'll find that all my presentations, people walk out, they say, "Jess Romero speaks with a sense of urgency. Wow, this guy actually believes in the words of Christ." Absolutely, because time waits for no man. Every second of the day, two human beings die a day. And guess what? The Catholic Church does not teach universal salvation. Modernists may want to teach that, but that's not what the church has taught. And when we die, there's going to be a final exam. There's going to be an exit interview. And I'll tell you, the conferences that I give, I tell people, you've got to repent and change and conform your life and be holy. Why? The doctors of the church, like St. Jerome, St. Augustine, St. Alphonsus of Liguori, all of them say that the way a man lives is most likely the manner in which he's going to die. People just don't change after a while. And that's why don't wait till you're at your deathbed and say, "Well, I'll give it a try. You know, maybe somebody will come here and talk to me about Jesus, or a priest will give the anointing to the sick." You don't know if you're going to have that opportunity. And so those of you that come to my presentations, you're going to see several things. Number one, you're going to see that I see things black and white. Okay. Number two, I speak with a sense of urgency because the time is short. I mean, if you want to know the facts, read Psalm 90. Psalm 90 tells us the average person lives from 70 to 80. It's in Psalm 90, okay? And by the way, look at the American Medical Association. They'll say most American men live to 78. Most American women live to 83. That's right with Psalm 90. Same thing. We're not going to be here that long. And so remember, as Catholics, we don't want to die lukewarm. We want to be on fire Catholics. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Revelation 3:15, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. We don't want to be the vomit of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We want to get to heaven. And I'll tell you, when I think about heaven, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind the other side. I'm saying there's nothing that I want to do in this life that will stop me from getting to heaven. Because I'll end with this. To get to heaven, we as Catholic men, or everybody, to get to heaven, you're going to pay the highest price possible. And when you get to heaven, it's going to cost you everything you have. But when you get to heaven, there, you'll get the best possible deal by God ever, ever. I like what Dr. Scott Hahn says. I'll end with this. He says, the intimacy and the ecstasy of the first second in heavenly life with God in Christ will make every thrill here on earth almost feel painful in comparison to that surpassing joy. God has in store for us blessings that exceed everything that we can enjoy on earth. That's the only reason it makes sense to give up everything that we can have on earth. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose.
That's pretty profound. That's great.
So thank you so much, Jesse, for tuning in tonight. Once again, we invite everybody out to listen to your talks in 10 days. And I know I'm looking forward to it. It should be an exciting time, as well as hopefully it'll leave a deep footprint on all of our hearts and souls and lead us in the right direction.
Amen. So, can't wait to meet you, Father. Can't wait to meet you as well, Neil.
Yep. We appreciate you calling in, taking time out of your busy, busy week and spending some time with us here on the air to kind of preview what you're going to give us in 10 days to 2 weeks, so that those five sessions over 4 days. And we really appreciate your time. Thank you very, very
much. I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Neil, for inviting me, and thank you for this interview.
Yep. All right. Take care. God bless you.
God bless you.
Anything else you want to throw in, Father Ned?
No, that's about it.
All righty. So it starts on the 19th. There's two sessions, 6 and 7:15, I believe. And then Monday night, Tuesday night. Wednesday night is for teens, if I'm remembering you correctly.
Wednesday night for teens. Monday and Tuesday for the family.
So. All righty. So we'll be back here in just a couple minutes with Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.